The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have told you turn the other cheek. And they made it with a bad fucking protest in them cities. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you dagger riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around and pump crack right up when you did it. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And now it's blood in your guard. It's like an amendment on the lie to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. The one that you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is February 19, 2016. Live drive at 5 with you. I know we normally start at 4 and we're not trying to confuse people, but, you know, things do change. So, good news to report right off the bat. Black Panther has been set free after 4 decades of torture. For those listeners of Black Talk Radio Network as a station, you know, although the program is on hiatus right now, but Political Prisoner Radio, which has been in existence for about maybe 3 years. Yeah, about 3 years. So 3 years worth of podcasts pointing out the fact that the United States is holding perhaps hundreds of political prisoners and prisoners of war, depending upon how you want to look at the battlefield. But Albert Woodfox was set free. You have multiple corporate news outlets reporting that the final member of the what were known as the Angola Three, that's Albert Woodfox, Robert King, and of course Herman Wallace, who passed away 2 days after he was set free and from cancer. And so Albert Woodfox was the last remaining member of the Angola Three. Robert King's been a guest on the program in the past, advocating for the release of all political prisoners and prisoners of war. But Albert Woodfox was the last remaining member. They were framed for the killing of a prison guard at Angola prison in Louisiana. And what they were doing was organizing among the prisoners to stop prisoner on prisoner assault, violence, rape. We know what that looks like today inside of prisons. And so they were organizing against that, pushing education, breaking down barriers, and getting people to cross lines and set aside racial classifications and whatnot, but build alliances in the prisons. And of course, you know, these are in fact and are viewed by the state as slaves, as the property of the state. And they definitely were using them, just as we think about slavery pre-1865. All right, so he has been set free. So that is some great news. Lots of people have done a lot of work, and I know Amnesty International, although I have disagreed with some of the things that they have put out and pertaining to Libya and others, but they have advocated for the Angola Three. And so Albert Woodfox, after 43 years of solitary confinement, has been set free, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But another story that I'd like to bring to your attention, you have these police unions that need to be disbanded, but you got the largest police union, represents hundreds of different departments all across the United States. The I forget how many members, I think 300,000 maybe the number of members the largest national police union has, and they're acting like children and you know, being all immature, and they're calling for a boycott of all venues involving any performance involving Beyonce. And you know, this is just ridiculous. You heard the other day some sheriff, somebody shot outside his house, although somebody said that, I mean, different media outlets falsely reported that, or had headlines that said someone shot at the sheriff's house. That is not accurate. Gunshots went off, and he reported it as being outside of his house, and he blamed Beyonce and said since she did little, 2 minutes? You know, her and some dancers did their little presentation, 2 minutes, and called it anti-cop and this and that. And there's a whole history of police terrorism and them using propaganda. And most of these quote-unquote retired law enforcement pundits and others who go on Fox News and CNN and other outlets and demonize the Black Panthers, well, again, you know, we're talking about people like Albert Woodfox. Albert Woodfox was not a terrorist. The Black Panther Party did not bomb any segregated schools or police departments or anything like that. They engaged in self-defense. And what does self-defense mean? That means when someone is attacking you, when it's well documented that the FBI, working with local police departments, targeted the political organization of the Black Panther Party, as well as other leftist parties as well. But let's make it clear, the Black Panther Party was a political party. They were doing things the right way. They were the ones that was following the Constitution. And, you know, before Justice Anton Scalia and the other Supreme Court justices, before they just recently ruled, not that long ago, within a year or two, that citizens of the United States do have a Second Amendment right to own firearms. And that's a decision that President Obama agreed with. But everybody want to talk about Anton Scalia and this and that. But Huey Newton and the Black Panthers, as well as Malcolm X, as well as, you know, countless other black people, some known and some unknown, have always maintained. That's the only way I figure that, you know, we've even survived on this continent, is taking our own security into our own hands. And so, you know, to me, if you want to talk about Constitution, and we had Mr. James Clingman on the other day and talking about black constitutionalists, you know, black people in this country who are asserting their citizenship and their rights as citizens, since this country would not exist without black revolutionaries and the American Revolution. Black people have always been on the forefront of revolution in this country. But, you know, but they have been the strongest proponents of constitutional law, and that being the supreme law of the land, regardless of whether or not the people who put it together only meant it for white people. But no, we know a lot of black people fought, and even though y'all have not applied it, that it's time out for that. People, black people for decades have been saying it's time out for that. We will defend ourselves on constitutional grounds, on human rights grounds, and what have you. So we're talking about a political organization and police working with the FBI under the direction of J. Edgar Hoover, you know, even in the prisons, because they had their unions too. And so they target these people with assassination. You know, the most glaring example I can point to is Chairman Fred Hampton in Chicago, and how they murdered this man while he was asleep in his bed, drugged by an infiltrator. you know, drugged and knocked out in a bed along with his pregnant wife and the mother of his child. And, you know, thankfully, Fred Hampton Jr. survived, and you've heard him on this station before. But they just went in and assassinated those people. And Mark Clark, who was sitting on the couch, also had been drugged. And a traitor, I guess, snuck out, and then police ran in and did a political assassination because Fred Hampton was running before Jesse Jackson came up with the Rainbow Coalition and filed a 501c. In that name, Fred Hampton had, you know, the real Rainbow Coalition in Illinois, working with young anti-Vietnam war protesters, white kids, burning their draft cards and saying, no, we won't go overseas and kill people for capitalists and all this and that, and building alliances. So they took them out. They took them out just like they took out, had a role in taking out Malcolm, taking out Martin Luther King Jr. This is all documented history, but, you know, mainstream media and these so-called experts and whatnot, they just really don't want to get into the details of this documented history. So, you know, these police unions, I feel like, should be disbanded. You know, you want to put the country at risk. You saying, you know, this guy want to talk about Beyonce's performances while somebody was shooting a gun outside his house. Well, I guess what? You know, that could have been ISIL. You know, y'all said before that these attacks on these police officers before the Super Bowl was ISIL related or whatnot. But just cause somebody shoot a gun outside your house, now I don't know its address or I can't, you know, do the Google Maps and zoom in and see what the terrain looked like. But I live in a rural area and it's not uncommon for us to hear gunshots going out off outside of our house. I mean, they're not like right outside of the house, and I don't know what the situation was at his residence. I know nobody's been arrested or whatnot, but then for him to then act like his family and he was being targeted, you know, before the Super Bowl is just straight up nonsense, and he should resign as sheriff. He should turn in his badge because he doesn't have the mental capacity to be granted as much power as he does. And for him to try to, you know, demonize people, police are, in fact, you know, slave catchers. And the evidence suggests that. So those are some of the topics we could get in today before our Tando Radio show comes on at 6 o'clock. Brother Dave is hosting that program. I think the topic will be Malcolm X's assassination. It's Black History Month, but and we want to emphasize that. And so we should be doing that 365 as many people do. And we do on this network, but, you know, we want to put an emphasis on a historical connection. And Albert Woodfox, again, the Black Panther, one of the Angola 3, the final member of the Angola 3 to finally be released by the state of Louisiana after 4 decades of torture, solitary confinement, 43 years in solitary confinement. State of Louisiana should pay this man reparations. The federal government should be paying reparations. That's cruel and unusual punishment. That's why I said President Obama's executive order barring the use of solitary confinement on juveniles in federal prisons or in federal custody. And that only applied to like 50 individuals or less. And you have. In fact, men like Albert Woodfox, who have been languishing in solitary confinement for decades. And then we hear people want to talk about climate change and rightfully arguing that people want to ignore the science, but, you know, they ignore the science that says that, you know, solitary confinement is torture. 24 hours of solitary confinement has been proven in studies to have a harmful impact on a person. Some of the documented results of that is hallucinations, make you prone towards violence, just, you know, all kind of harm. Now you think about being in solitary confinement for 43 years, and then they really torture out Mr. Woodfox because they would subject him to anal probes every day. He even filed a lawsuit against it. So, you know, this man is part of Black history. The things that he took, that he accomplished along with in Angola prison in Louisiana in establishing a chapter of the Black Panther Party to address all of the abuses, whether it was prisoner on prisoner abuse and guard on prisoner abuse. These three men organized against that and changed the culture of that prison. And then that is why they were targeted for a false conviction on the murder of a prison guard, Mr. Brent Miller. I don't know why they targeted Mr. Brent Miller. And when I say they, I'm talking about whoever committed the murders, because it was not the Angola Three. And even the widow of Brent Miller has called for their release and examined the evidence and doesn't believe that these men had anything to do with the murder of her husband at the time. And this occurred in, I believe, the late 60s or the early 70s when Brent Miller was killed. So she has called for his release. And so finally that day has come and he has been released. So we're going to right now take a station identification break, kick some message music. Let me give out the phone numbers. If anybody has any thoughts on these stories, what do you think about the police unions trying to tell other officers across the United States to put hundreds of thousands of people at risk of what they say is terrorism? Because if you ask me, you know, we don't need them. People are more than capable of governing themselves, and it'll probably be less arrest and stuff, you know. Probably be like Woodstock or something where people self-police, you know. So we really don't need them, because crime went down, actually, in New York when they did their little work stoppage. New York City did not break out into chaos, and it was mass looting, and people were just really going after each other like it was the Purge or something like that. No, that didn't occur. Crime actually went down. That leads me to believe that, you know, a lot of this stuff, crime is actually the police producing the crime, enforcing unconstitutional laws, primarily drug war laws, primarily that Clinton legislation. So, you got any thoughts on any of this, you can give us a call at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. Hit *6 and 1 to signal me. I will get you in. You can also use the web-based flash phone, or give us a ring on the studio line, 704-951-5030. So again, you're listening to Black Talk Radio News right here on Black Talk Radio Network. This morning, CNN political commentator Errol Lewis reported that presidential candidate Bernie Sanders met with professional activist Al Sharpton this morning in Harlem. In his piece on CNN, Mr. Lewis writes about something Mr. Sharpton said to him. He recently told me of being approached by Clinton allies and asked what he wanted in exchange for supporting her candidacy. What do I want? Nothing, he told me. I've been to the White House for Christmas and the Super Bowl with the first black president. Had more access than any civil rights leader in history. What can Hillary or any other president do for me? This confirms that many other black people endorsing Clinton today possibly got a similar offer. And if that is the case, it makes sense as to how any black person that is concerned about police brutality, mass incarceration, and issues concerning poverty can in good conscience support a candidate that played such a big role in pushing the legislation brokered between President Bill Clinton and congressional Republicans during the 90s. The negative impact of that legislation is still being felt in the black community today. However, Mr. Sharpton does himself no favors, bragging about his access to the White House, Christmas dinners with the Obamas, and a Super Bowl trip with the first black president, who has done nothing in 7 years to address these major issues. Mr. Sharpton's comments were about him not wanting anything else from any president, but what about the black community in general? Only Mr. Sharpton can answer this question, and perhaps someone should ask him to clarify. This has been Scotty Reed with your Black Talk Radio weekly commentary. Join me for regular broadcasts on BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com.
Our people are very serious about not being very serious.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. So welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Again, today's date, February 19, 2016, and Mr. Albert Wood Fox, last remaining member of the Angola 3, members of a black, the founders, actually, of the Black Panther Party prison chapter. So, you know, that's some good news, but that man has been through hell. You know, people want to talk about John McCain as a hero, and you know, when his job was to bomb Vietnamese villagers from the air until he got shot down and he was held captive and his arms got broke. That's why he got short chicken wing arms now. And, you know, I think he was maybe held not even a year or two. Look, that ain't nothing compared to what Mr. Albert Wood Fox just went through. 43 years of solitary confinement, physical abuse. I would even call that sexual abuse when you keep sticking your fingers up people's orifice, knowing they in solitary confinement, and then what are they going to smuggle out, you know? They have no human contact with nobody except for guards, you know. And I don't even know if he's had visitors, if he even had any visiting time or anything like that. So, you know, it is a day to recognize that one of our soldiers been set free. And this is what I was talking about yesterday, when I was talking about the young lady, part of Black Lives Matter, respecting her decision not to meet with President Obama, but offering my opinion that if I was offered a meeting with President Obama, I would indeed take it and bring up the issue of political prisoners and prisoners of war. I mean, all it is all documented of how, you know, people have been targeted, who have resisted racism and white supremacy. So, let me see if I can give y'all some history. We'll check out YouTube and see what we can find on Mr. Wood Fox. Okay, we got
this
something.
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As we turn now to new developments in a case Democracy Now! Has been following for years, a federal appeals court has upheld a lower court ruling ordering Louisiana to release Albert Wood Fox, a former Black Panther who has spent 42 years in solitary confinement, longer than any prisoner in the United States. In an editorial over the weekend, the New York Times referred to his confinement as, quote, barbaric beyond measure. Wood Fox and the late Herman Wallace, another prisoner of the Angola Three, were convicted of murdering a guard at Angola Prison. The Angola Three and their supporters say they were framed for their political activism. A federal judge ruled last year Albert Wood Fox should be set free on the basis of racial discrimination in his retrial. It was the third time Wood Fox's conviction was overturned, but prosecutors have negated the victories with a series of appeals. Thursday's ruling by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the order for Wood Fox's release in unanimous decision, but prosecutors could still delay its enforcement with more appeals to keep Wood Fox behind bars. In 2010, the documentary In the Land of the Free featured a clip of Albert Wood Fox speaking on a phone in prison.
If a cause is noble enough, you can carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. And I thought that my cause, then and now, was noble. So therefore, they could never break me. They might bend me a little bit. They may cause me a lot of pain. They may even take my life. But they will never be able to break me.
Albert Wood Fox, in his own words, to talk more about these developments with the last incarcerated member of the Angola Three, we're joined by two guests. In Austin, we'll be joined by Robert King, a member of the Angola Three, who spent 29 years in solitary confinement for a murder he did not commit. He was released in 2001 after his conviction was overturned. We are also joined here in New York by Corrine Williams, a lawyer for Albert Wood Fox, an attorney with the firm Squire Patton Boggs. We welcome you, Corrine, to Democracy Now! I want to begin with you. You were with Albert when word came down from the court on Thursday?
I was. I already had a attorney-client visit planned, and the decision came down about 3 minutes before my flight landed. I tried to reach George Kendall, another attorney on the case, and confirmed that, in fact, the ruling in the district court had been affirmed by the Fifth Circuit, and then stopped at a hotel lobby on the way out of Shreveport Airport to print the case to bring to Albert, and went as fast as I could to the prison, mindful of all the speed traps on the roads.
And what did Albert say?
At first there weren't a whole lot of words. As soon as I walked in, we both just broke out into huge smiles. This has been a long, long time coming. It's something that we all expected because the law was right on our side and the facts were right on our side. But it has been such a long road that we just had to take a moment to savor it.
So please take us on that road. Explain how it is that Albert Wood Fox has been in solitary confinement longer than any prisoner in the United States, 42 years, though court after court says he should be freed.
There really is no explanation for it. I mean, it's just a matter of retaliatory barbarism.
How did he end up in jail?
Albert Wood Fox originally went to prison on an armed robbery charge. He was then, while in prison, convicted of killing a corrections officer. During the investigation of that killing, he was put into solitary confinement. He never has been released from solitary confinement. There have been two intervening periods when he was retried in 1998, he was held in a parish facility for 3 years in the general population. At that point, no incidents whatsoever. Once the conviction was gotten for the second time, again without a fair trial, he was put back into solitary confinement. In 2008, he was put into a dorm for about 8 to 9 months. When we got relief on his ineffective assistance counsel claims at that point, we sought bail. And in what we believe was a retaliatory move, they moved him out of the dorm and back into solitary for no legitimate penological reason.
And explain the case within the prison when he was brought up on charges of murder, attempted murder of a guard.
So in 1972, I think for a little context, the conditions in Angola were atrocious. There was an inordinate amount of violence among inmates, among guards. Albert and Herman Wallace being the third member of the Angola Three who passed away last year after having his conviction overturned, began organizing inmates as members of the Black Panther Party. And their primary goal in organizing inmates was to protect others from prison rape. And so that earned them the ire of an administration that was itself under a big change. They'd been ordered to integrate their prison administration. So there were some antagonisms and frictions among the prison officials and guards. And then when this terrible murder happened, I mean, it's truly a tragic crime, they were immediately fingered as the culprits without any evidence whatsoever. And a number of people who were affiliated with that Black Panther chapter in a prison were put into solitary confinement.
Even the guard's wife has said that they should be freed. Even when Herman was alive, she did not believe they were responsible for the guard's death.
That's right, Amy. As, you know, anybody who looks...
Let me play Tini Barrett, the wife of the guard, the widow of the murdered prison guard. She was just 17 when her husband, Brent Miller, was stabbed to death in 1972. This is Tini Barrett from the documentary In the Land of the Free.
I've been living this for 36 years. There's not a year that goes by that I don't have to relive this. It just keeps going and going. And then these men... I mean, if they did not do this, and I believe that they didn't, they have been living a nightmare for 36 years.
That was Tini Barrett, the widow of the guard.
Right. I mean, this case, if you look at it, the state's case has always been weak. It was weak in 1972 when the conviction originally happened. They could not get that conviction without cheating, without violating the constitutional safeguards of a fair trial. They had a second chance in 1998. Again, they couldn't get a fair conviction against Mr. Woodfox that the Fifth Circuit just found on Thursday.
We're joined by Robert King in Austin, a member of the Angola Three, who himself spent 29 years in solitary confinement for a murder he didn't commit, released in 2001 after the conviction was overturned, has written a book about his experience called From the Bottom of the Heap, the autobiography of Black Panther Robert Hillary King. Robert, it's great to have you back on Democracy Now! Can you respond to the court's decision yet again on Thursday for Albert Woodfox to be released?
Yes, thank you. And it's good to be here again. And yes, I can only reiterate what Corrine has said and alluded to, that Albert was overjoyed. I talked to him yesterday, and we're thinking that this decision here puts him closer to his freedom, as again alluded to by Corrine. You know, this case was weak from Jump Street, and it has been overturned many times. And you know, based not just on
a time like this
defaults, I'm sure the court had other things in mind, but it was overturned on procedural default, and the Attorney General seems to take this as a green light to continue this atrocious the prosecution of Albert Woodfox. And And we're thinking it is high time that it, you know, the state let it go. There is nothing else that can be done. Albert has proven time and time again that he's actually innocent of this crime. All evidence shows that he was innocent of this crime, that he should not have even been convicted or should not have been even charged with this crime.
So the question is, what happens now, Corrine? So the court ruled that exactly what?
The court ruled that the conviction is a bad conviction and that he has to be released or retried. So the ball in terms of what happens now is in effect in the state's court again. They have a few options. They can seek a rehearing of this panel. They can seek en banc review of the whole Fifth Circuit, or they can appeal to the Supreme Court. They could also decide that enough's enough, that Mr. Woodfox has served 42 hard years in Louisiana prison, and this is no longer a wise use of the state's resources. Mm.
Robert King, we had you on talking about Herman Wallace, who prayed he could be free to die as a free man, and he was taken out of the prison at the last minute as he lay dying, a judge ordering his release, demanding the warden release him or perhaps be imprisoned himself. And he was taken out in a gurney, and he died a free man. you and Albert Woodfox in chains, were brought to say goodbye to Herman Wallace. Is that right?
Yes. In fact, we were allowed to visit Herman on the day, as Corrine pointed out. She was there at the time, and she told him that his conviction had been overturned. And Albert and I were there, and we were also able to, inform Herman and let Herman know that his case had been overturned, and that not only had his case been overturned, but that he would be released that same day from prison. And I think he recognized this. So Herman died unconvicted.
I want to end with Albert Woodfox's own words. He bent down in his chains and kissed Herman Wallace on the forehead as he said goodbye. But this is his own words from the 2010 documentary, the words of Albert Woodfox in the Land of the Free.
Our primary objective is that frankie. That is what we are struggling for, and we are actually fighting for our freedom.
This call originates from a Louisiana correctional facility and may be recorded or monitored.
That we were framed for murder, that we are totally and completely and actually innocent.
You have 15 seconds left on this call.
Let me call you back.
That was Albert Woodfox, and that's where we're going to have to leave it until we speak to him live on Democracy Now!
All right, so that was Democracy Now! Interview posted to their YouTube channel, Democracy Now! So this is, in fact, history. This is history going back 30, 40 years. And let me ask you this in context of the current political focus right now the nation seems to be in. And in the context of the Congressional Black Congress and then a super PAC full of lobbyists endorsing Hillary Clinton and those individual members who claim that they've been fighting for black people and on black people's behalf and on the issues. And when have you ever heard these people call these racists in the states or in the federal government to the carpet for the political prisoners, people we know are innocent and have been framed? You know, these are people that were framed during the so-called civil rights movement, while they were out there fighting for the same thing, maybe not using the same tactics and adhering to the same philosophies, but there was no monolithic resistance to racism and white supremacy in the 50s, 60s, at no time. Different people had different ways of resistance, and some of those people, like the Angola 3, and all they were doing was organizing against prison rape, a problem today on February the 19th, 2016, because of what the sick individuals running these prison plantations and the guards allow to go on in terms of prisoner-on-prisoner violence. Males are the most raped, sexually assaulted gender in the United States of America. That's a fact. And that is what the Angola 3 were organizing against, primarily, was prison rape. Because, you know, when you treat human beings like animals, when you torture them every day through various means and whatnot, gladiator fights, we've heard about those going on in the GO group facilities, guards, you know, doing the like they were betting on these life or death fights within the prison. This is the GO group. So, you know, this is barbaric. How can this country point a finger at Cuba, at China, at any place on the planet when this is what goes on? But we've heard none of these black politicians or anything fighting and raising awareness about people like Mr. Woodfox. If we had people like that, it is no way that these men and women, like part of the Move family out of Philadelphia, no way they should be behind bars no decades, let alone being tortured with solitary confinement for 30 years. You didn't hear John Lewis taking any opportunity on any mainstream corporate media interview that he was invited to participate on. He didn't take to the Senate floor, or excuse me, the congressional floor of the House and point out cases of like Albert Woodfox, wrongfully convicted, being tortured with solitary confinement, and saying this is barbaric and calling on the president to end this, to send U.S. federal marshals into the state, Louisiana state prison, and remove Mr. Woodfox by force. Now, that was that interview we just heard from on that clip from Democracy Now!, that was 2 years ago. And so today, finally, he has freedom. Freedom from those physical chains. So, again, you know, people, we have to start doing everything possible through various ways, you know, to bring an end to slavery and human trafficking here in the United States. We have to bring an end to racism in this country. We're talking about human rights violations. You know, anybody, any administrator that has been connected to the approval of the solitary confinement of Mr. Woodfox, Mr. King, and Mr. Wallace, they should be put on trial themselves. They should be facing a court for violating the human rights. This is like, you know, war crime type stuff. How are we going to ignore the science? This is barbarity. You don't get to do that to human beings and then nothing happen to you. We at least, yeah, I mean, that's the current paradigm right now. That's how the people running the system is doing it right now. But, you know, that's because the masses, because we far outnumber them, allow them to do these things with minimum resistance. With minimum resistance. Because we're afraid of taking a risk of being, Angola, like a Angola 3 member, like a Mumia Abu-Jamal, like, you know, Brother Jamil Alameen, formerly known as H-Rap Brown. Never don't hear John Lewis talking about him. He was in SNCC too. Did you meet him in the 60s, in the 70s? No, you got a government job, man. And it's not the point that he took a government job, but it's a point that, you know, he sold out. He didn't go in there to be a change maker. He was afraid. I don't know what excuse he would give us, but I'm just looking at it objectively, looking at the evidence, looking at the history. And I mean, it's just shameful that those members of the Congressional Black Caucus, which, by the way, BreakingBrown.com recently published an article where, it was also recalling a New York Times article where the CBC has spent over $700,000 on a lavish gala. And it was kind of called, I think they called it sort of like Hollywood on the Potomac or whatever. But this lavish party that cost $700,000. And they were supposed to be given scholarships and, you know, they spent more on this party than they did on scholarships. It was like I was reporting by that super PAC. They say they started to elect black people and non-black people, that politicians that push black issues. And the vast majority of their budget was going to paying the executive directors and whatnot, the lobbyists, putting money in their pocket. While, like, I think this year only $11,000 in this cycle went towards actual campaign contributions. So, and these people don't ever raise the issue of our political prisoners during the time they know, you know, about J. Edgar Hoover, COINTELPRO, and the police. John Lewis should know. So, speaking of police, I want to jump to this next story. But a shout out and a salute to Mr. Wood Fox, Albert Wood Fox. 43 years in solitary confinement, a prisoner of war, of the war being waged on black people by racists in the United States. Finally set free. He should be compensated, and there's those people who kept him under those conditions, all it should be put on trial for their crimes against humanity. Salute to you, Mr. Wood Fox. Your contributions and your sacrifice is well noted. Welcome to freedom. Speaking of freedom, let's talk about freedom of speech. So, everybody, there's no consensus on Beyonce's performance during the Super Bowl 50 halftime show that happened just 20-something miles from the birthplace of the Black Panther Party, Huey Newton and Mr. Bobby Seale, as well as a few others, formed the first chapter of the Black Panther Party organizing against police brutality. Organizing against police terrorism. And there has always been a racist culture within the police departments. And it hasn't even changed since they started letting black people become cops in the 1960s. That has not changed the culture of violence in the police department. It hasn't changed the culture of racism within the police department. In fact, in some cities, black cops complain about racism within the department itself. So, hiring more black cops, and I heard people say that's a solution to how we're policing communities. I would say a reduction of police, but, you know, there's been no consensus. You got a number of people who weren't happy with the portrayal or the shout out Beyonce in her performance, and the dancers. Shout out to Malcolm X. Shout out to the Black Panther Party. And they're saying, calling the Black Panther terrorists and whatnot when they were formed to fight against terrorism. But I mean, just a 2-minute performance, and now you got people like Rudy Giuliani losing his mind. I don't even want to play this clip. I'm not going to play this clip. Y'all might have already heard Rudy Giuliani talking about this, you know, these are terrorists. This is an attack against police. And he talks about respecting the uniform and respect the badge and do this and that. No, man. You know, the Nazis had uniforms, okay? They had uniforms, too. Slave catchers have always had badges and guns. So it's not a matter of respecting a uniform when many of these people don't respect the uniform of itself. Whatever that's supposed to mean. You know, I served 6 years in the United States military. I'm a decorated veteran from the Gulf War. Uniform, respecting the uniform to me means that I'm always following the specification in the codes of how I'm supposed to wear my uniform. But in terms of just respecting a uniform? Come on, man. Are we talking, are you telling people that, you know, we talking to adults like we're little children? Like, we tell children, don't be disrespectful to cops. Don't be disrespectful in school to teachers. Don't be disrespectful to anyone, you know, unless they're disrespecting you, is what my mother taught me. And we have plenty of that. And through my 50, will be 50 years on this planet, behind these enemy lines of USA Inc., I have come across many disrespectful police officers. Now, in the interest of honesty, in this rural area, in the country that I live in, where most of the cops are white, my interactions with them have been respectful of two-way street. Haven't been brutalized, haven't been my interaction, I don't have any complaints. So I want to recognize that there are some people out there and they look at the job. I'm just trying to keep the public safe from drunk drivers, because that was been my interaction with them, pulling me over saying I was speeding or I was drunk driving, or, you know, suspected of something like that. And then when they pulled me over and found out I wasn't drunk, or whatever the issue was, they let me go. So, you know, not talking about those guys. Not talking about those guys. What I'm talking about is those guys that break into people's houses, looking for some cannabis, looking for whatever drugs or whatever, and shooting people in the process and killing them, even elderly people and innocent people, and you know, shooting little girls in the head, 7-year-old girls in the head, like Ayanna Stanley Jones in Detroit not that long ago. You guys who carry out and enforce unconstitutional laws, like drug war era Clinton crime bill administration type stuff, you know, I got a problem with you. You are not upholding the Constitution. People like Rudy Giuliani, you know, talking about respect the uniform. How about respecting the principles of the U.S. Constitution? It talks about freedom and liberty. And how about acknowledging the history, like New York, New York Police Commissioner right now, Bill Bratton? At least he's done that, and he's acknowledged and stated publicly that police have a bad history in this country, and all the suffering and all the slavery and all the Jim Crow, the police were enforcing those laws. So I'll give Bill Bratton that. At least he's willing to acknowledge that. Giuliani, career prosecutor, former mayor of New York City, suspected racist, he doesn't seem, you know, willing to acknowledge that very real history. So, you know, that's all Beyonce did. Regardless of whether, you know, you didn't agree with black women with afros being in leotards or whatnot, I mean, come on, this was a show. All right. But the good that they did was got the whole nation talking about the Panthers. So I like Giuliani running his mouth, because it generates buzz for the Panthers. And hopefully people will find out about political prisoners. And Albert Woodfox, again, one of those political prisoners, for a black Panther, was set free after 4 decades of torture. 43 years. Again, welcome home, Mr. Woodfox. And thank you for your contribution. All right, that's my program for today. Thank you for tuning in to Black Talk Radio News. Tando Radio Show is coming up on the other side of this short break. And, you know, recognize the fact that you live behind enemy lines, that it is a battlefield out there. And we got prisoners of war. And if we're not demanding their freedom, then, you know, we're not engaging the war properly. And, again, that's why I'll take a meeting with the CEO of America and say, hey, set these people free and provide the background, the history, the evidence, and the information. Whether he do it or not, that's, you know, that's up to him. But we need to be demanding a release for prisoners a war and not just raising hell about the casualties just being killed out there on the battlefield. But the whole point is developing our skills, our awareness, and mass unity around issues of just plain justice versus injustice. So it shouldn't be really that controversial. So y'all just be careful out there and never give up. Never give up hope, because we can turn things around. Peace and blessings to all.
They just hope that he'll never wake up, because they never want to meet him on the back.
What is your opinion?